6. This week's VBS is on the kingdom. Keepers of the kingdom. And keepers of the kingdom need the armor of God. Folks, every Christian who knows God is a keeper of the kingdom. We have the kingdom of heaven inside of us. We need to examine, and we need to be an example of all those character traits of what a heaven-bound soul is like. So tonight I'm going to go to a very familiar passage. It is the text for VBS. I'm not preaching VBS tonight, but I'm preaching an encouragement of what we're really up against here. And tonight's message is that the fight is on. That the fight is on. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And in our passage tonight, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to what? To stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, the Christian life is the beginning of many things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man or woman or child, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." That's a promise based on the authority of God's Word. Amen. Based on the authority of God's Son. Based on what He did on the cross. We are made new. We are a new creation. And therefore, it is a new beginning. Amen. It is a new beginning. We have now the time, opportunity for fellowship. We now have hope that we didn't have before. We can now have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can have assurance of heaven. We know where we're going if you know Him.
Amen.
You have the peace of God in your life. And so the Christian life is a beginning of new things. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, it says, "Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." We need to understand our position here. We need to understand that we're justified in front of God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. "Let that therefore abide in you." Where's the fight going on? And the fight is in the spiritual realm. "Which ye have heard from the what? From the beginning." You know, God's Word doesn't change.
Amen.
And what you think may change, but God's Word doesn't change. Faith is faith, and holiness is holiness, and right is right, and wrong is wrong, and evil is evil.
Amen.
And it doesn't change. And the fight is the same. "If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall" what? "Continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." The prospect of heaven should cause us to change. It should give us an outlook that is not found anywhere else in the world, except in the minds and the hearts and the souls of believers. And so the Christian life is the beginning of many things. This passage tonight starts talking about a fight. And the Christian life immediately begins a fight with Satan. It immediately begins a fight with the enemy. And we need to understand here, it says, finally, in our text, it says, finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Folks, it's time to quit being Christian weaklings and being powerful in the name and the power of Christ. Because God gives us the power. We can't do it on our own. It started a fight, but we can win. You know why? Because God gives us the power. Secondly, God gives us the protection. It says here in verse 11, it says, put on the what? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The implication here is if you don't have the whole armor of God, you cannot stand. You need it all. You need all of God. You need all of His Spirit. You need all of His truth. You need all of His Word. Or you won't be able to stand. The fight is on, folks. The fight is on. And we have unseen enemies. It says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. However, they may manifest themselves with that. But it's the power behind them. But folks, we need to understand that we have power behind us too. And it's God. And it's God. See, God gives us the perspective. We need to fight this fight. Here he says here that you may be able to stand. And having done all to what? To stand twice. And in this passage it says about standing. It doesn't mean we might get knocked down, but we get back up. We get back up. See, the fight with the unseen enemies, it's a good fight. It's a fight that needs to be fought. It's a fight that needs to be fought. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the what? Good fight of faith. Not a mediocre fight, not a sad fight of faith, but fight the good fight of faith. Folks, everything with God is superlative, and everything in our lives should be superlative too. It should be about being good. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We have started a fight with unseen enemies. We have the power of God on our side. God gives us protection through the armor of God. And it's God gives us perspective that this is a good fight. It's a fight to get involved with. There's a lot of people that don't want to get involved. And we're not talking about the lunchroom fight between two kids. We're talking about the fight for the souls of men. It must be fought well. The battle against the unseen enemies must be fought well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as what? Uncertainly. But in addition, he says, so fight what? I. Not as one that beateth the air. Now there's a lot of, I go down to restaurants and I look back in the kitchen. I see a lot of movement, but not much production. I have a feeling that that's what's happening in the church. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of talk about something, but there's not much production. See, we need to fight this fight well. Not with just words, but with words and actions. It must be fought well, and it must be fought to the end. It is one that you cannot retire from. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says this. He says, I have fought. Past tense. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Question to you tonight is three part. Are you fighting the fight? Are you fighting the fight? Are you finishing the course? Are you keeping the faith? If God called you home tonight, would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Do we sweat the small things in our lives? So tonight, we need to look at this armor, not in the pieces of it, but for what it does. The first thing is in verses 14 and 15, we see the armor of consistency. It says that we're supposed to have what? Our loins girt about with truth. truth. You know what the truth is supposed to do? Prevent us from getting all tangled up in the lies of the devil. Prevent us from getting all off course and off track and falling. Okay? It calls for truthfulness. Folks, we can't fight this spiritual warfare if we're not truthful. God knows our heart. And our heart condemns us not. We have confidence towards Him. But folks, we have to be truthful one with another, because our enemy is a liar. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Christ says, hey, he's talking to the crowd. He's talking to the religious leaders. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. They thought they're going the right thing. They thought they were fighting the right fight. But they were fighting on the wrong side. He says, in the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What happens when we have sin in our life? We don't obey the truth. We don't obey the truth. So we need to have our loins girt about with truth. Folks, the Bible says in Revelation, it says that all liars will not have part of the New Jerusalem. They'll be on the outside looking in. Tonight, we have to make a decision to stand for the truth. If you're standing for the truth, you're standing for God and with God. If you're not standing for the truth, 100%, you're not standing with God. Our loins have to be girt about with truth. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. It's imputed righteousness by faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 24 says, for unto us also, to whom it shall be what? Imputed righteousness. It talks about, in this chapter, talks about the righteousness of Abraham and the righteousness of David. And it wasn't talking about their words, it was talking about their actions. It was they're talking about their belief in the promises of God. And that's how they got saved. Folks, we believe in the promise of God. We believe in the finished work of God on Christ on the cross, in His resurrection, and the fact that He's coming back. That imputes righteousness to us. It says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we what? Believe on Him that raised up Christ Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's not only imputed righteousness by faith, it is imparted righteousness, which means we can live by it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who? Us. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it with God. What did Christ say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It says, on these two commandments hang what? All the law. It's about love. It's about loving kids tomorrow. And also on Friday, when you're tired. And also when you go home to prepare at night. It's about being consistent. It's about knowing truth and sharing truth and being righteous. See, it's righteousness that needs to be demonstrated by our lives. And my encouragement for every worker in VBS, it doesn't matter if you're teaching a class or not, we need to be an example of truth. We need to be an example of righteousness. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Folks, this next week, it can't be about what you think. It's about what the Word of God says. That's where truth comes from. It's not about what you consider as right and wrong. It's what absolute righteousness is from God. That's what we're teaching. We need to show what we're teaching. We need to show that. uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed or may be enlightened to understand, hey, there's something different about you than me. Having no evil thing to say of you. See, we need to have the armor of consistency. If you always tell the truth, you'll be consistent. People can count on you. People know that your yea will be yea, your nay will be nay. And they won't have to second guess what you really meant. If they know that you're trying to strive for righteousness, they won't be looking for something evil in you. And they won't, and they'll be encouraged that this can actually be done. And that will draw people to Christ. We need to understand that our feet are shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. This word for preparation means to get ready to do it. It means to be prepared. It means to be ready. It means that you have everything that you need to do the task at hand. See, we need to do these three things. We need to be living the gospel so others will find Christ. Are you doing that in your life? Are you putting on a good show here and not a good show out there? Okay? We need to be living the gospel so others will find Christ. We need to be speaking the gospel to those who are lost. How can they hear without a what? A preacher. And then we need to be taking the gospel to those who have not heard. Romans 10 verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written out of Psalms. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that and bring glad tidings of good things." Folks, we come here tomorrow, we're bringing glad tidings of good things. We're bringing truth. We're bringing righteousness. And not just this next week, but every time in our, all the time in our life. That's how we fight the fight. Because we have to have every piece of armor on us. So we need to have the armor of consistency. In verses 16 through 17, we need to have the armor of confidence. You know what confidence is? Confidence is that you know that what you've got will work. You know that what you've got is work. You know, when I flew fighter planes, I went out and I trusted the crew chief to make that plane flyable. Didn't have to go there and ask him a thousand questions. I just knew that it was going to work. Sometimes if it didn't work, then you come back and have a talk later on. But the issue is, we need to understand that this armor is consistent so other people can see and other people want this. The other thing is, we need to have confidence in what we have. Confidence that it will actually work. We need to have the shield of faith, which is confidence in Christ. Which is confidence in Christ. It's protection from the missiles of the ISIS that you will be able to what? Quench. How many of the darts? All the fiery darts. All of them. See, God gives us a total victory. God gives us total protection. God gives us total righteousness. God gives us total truth. Everything is total. Confidence in Christ. We know we must believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. Which means we need to know what we believe and actually live it. And it's just not lip service to God. The Christian life begins with faith. And it ends in faith. And it continues in faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, what did faith allow the Old Testament saints to do? It allowed them to quench the violence of fire. Talking about the three Hebrew children. Escape the edge of the sword. The other day I was talking to someone about Elijah and how Elijah was telling the king of Israel where the Assyrians were moving. So bad, and they knew it so perfectly. King of Israel knew it so perfectly in 2 Kings 8 that he thought there was a spy in his bedroom. So he sent the entire army of Syria out after Elijah. And God smote them all with blindness. And he escaped. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness was made strong. What about Gideon? Think, what about David? Waxed valiant in fight. We had David's mighty men of valor that stood in the middle of a field and killed hundreds of the enemy by the power of God. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Folks, we need the shield of faith. That's confidence in Christ. Got to do two things. Got to have three things for it. First of all, you got to have it. Second thing, you got to pick it up. Then you got to use it. Some of us will go blindly into sin saying, "Hit me!" Instead of being behind the shield of faith and say, "God, protect me." So, we have the shield of faith here. And it says here, above all, taking the shield of faith where you can able to quench all the fiery darts of wicked. And then the next thing is take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the helmet of salvation. The helmet supports the head. The breastplate of righteousness protects the heart. Out of the heart is the issues of life. But the head directs where the body goes. And folks, we need to start living our life as if we know where we're going. And as if we know Christ. See, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Show that you have salvation by thinking on it and then acting on that thinking. That's where the helmet of salvation comes on. It's because we know. "These things have I written unto you that ye may" what? "Know that you have eternal life." It's the importance of the know-how or the know-so of salvation. When we're having assurance, when you have assurance that your equipment will work, you'll go to battle. When you have assurance that you've got everybody beside you going the same way, you'll go to battle. When you have assurance that God's got your back, you'll go to battle. You know it up here. And God's protected your head with the helmet of salvation. You won't know it any other way unless you're saved. So we have the armor of confidence and we have the helmet of salvation. Thirdly, the armor of communication. It says here in verse 17, it says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." See, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings faith. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It's the Word of God that directs us to the righteous path. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by" what? "Inspiration of God, and is" what? "Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Word of God provides discernment. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to a dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the Word of God is how God communes with us. The Word of God is how we get our marching orders, because they come from the commands of Christ. The Word of God is important, and if we neglect the Word of God, it will bring defeat. You can't witness. You don't know the right way to go. You can't describe what heaven is. You don't know truth. You don't know righteousness. You don't know the gospel. You don't have faith, and you're leaving yourself open for the enemy. Oh, folks, it's how God communicates with us. It's the armor of communication. It provides everything we need. Everything else we need. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness," through the what? Through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we talked about the Word of God, God communicating with us. Do you listen to it? Do we listen to what the Word says? Secondly, it says here in verse 18, praying always. Praying always. That means what? At all times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And it says, "Praying always with all prayer and all supplication." Basically, we need with all effort. Praying means that we're communing with God from us to Him. From us to Him. With all of our effort. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, or continuing," that's the perseverance part, "instant in prayer." Instant in prayer. It means that we're praying specifically for what's going on right then and there. "You have not because you ought. Ask not." So this is how we communicate back to God. With all effort. And in praying with all expectation. You know, we've heard it over and over and over again, but you know, it's a hard thing to do. Do we actually believe that God will answer the prayers the way we're praying them? We need to pray always with what? All prayer and supplication and the Spirit, and what? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's watching and expecting God to do exactly what we're asking for. And if we're asking a wrong thing, then the Spirit is going to correct that. And we're going to understand what we really need to be praying for. Okay? But we need to pray with all expectation, because Philippians 4, 6, be what? Be anxious or careful for nothing. God knows what you need. What do we need to do? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow take thought of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." God knows what's going on. He knows the battle that you're in right now. He knows the problem that you're in right now. He says, "Will you just fight the fight? Would you just fight the fight and pray? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We pray expecting. We pray thanking God in advance for what He's going to do. That's faith, folks. That's faith. We need to be praying in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For what? We know not what we should what? Pray for. As we ought. You know, sometimes you're in the battle and you just say, why am I here? What am I doing? You need to pray and God will tell you. God will tell you. But the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings, which what? Cannot be uttered. Now I'm not talking about praying in some sort of gibberish language. I'm talking about praying in your spirit. Praying from your heart. A prayer that will actually reach the throne of God. That you can find help and grace in time of need. So, praying always at all times, with all effort, with all expectation, praying in the Spirit, and then praying for our fellow soldiers. Unless your name was Hercules, you can't fight the battle alone. And you know, Hercules got beat too. No one can fight this battle alone. David had men around him also. David got to the point and said, nah, you're not going out there. We're not going to let the light of Israel go out. You'd be praying for fellow soldiers. In the last verse, the next verse here in Ephesians 4:19, it says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you pray for others in this church? Do you pray that they will have victory? Do you pray that they'll live righteously? Do you pray that they'll do the things that God wants them to do? Do you pray for their strength? Do you pray for their safety? Do you pray for God's will to be effective in their life? Folks, we need to do that. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. Our Lord will never sound retreat. God doesn't run away from a fight. He wins them. He wins them. And neither should we. We're going to be in a spiritual battle this week. Already are. I can tell you right now, already are. Let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's have on the whole armor of God. How can we teach kids to have the whole armor of God if we don't have it ourselves? Amen.